of Psalm 13, all six verses. This is the word of God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. When Ryan asked me to preach, he recommended I do a psalm. And so I was looking through the psalms, and I pretty quickly was struck by Psalm 13. I can remember a few years ago, I had decided over the winter that I was going to read through all the psalms. And as I was doing so, Psalm 13 particularly really just hit home with me. And I can remember in that season, I was really struggling with a number of different things. This psalm brought me comfort in a way that nothing else could. And so I really quickly decided that I wanted to share this psalm with us this morning. And my prayer and hope is that as we look at the writing here of David, who is praying to the Lord, we'll be able to get some guidance in how we can respond to sorrow in the way that David responds himself. This is a psalm of lament. And if you're not familiar with laments, over a third of the Psalms are actually known as laments, and the entire book of Lamentations is made up of poems of laments as well. Lamenting is a distinctly Christian response to the sufferings and challenges that we will face in this world, and it's centered around expressing sorrow while maintaining hope in the Lord and trusting him and bringing it forth to him. And so as we look at this psalm, we can use it as a guide to respond to sorrow in our own lives. The six verses are broken up into three sections, and I think in each of those sections, we'll see the way David moves through this prayer as he wrestles with his sorrow and turns to the Lord. And my hope is that it will be encouraging to us, similarly to how it was really encouraging to me. In these first two verses, what we really see is we see David just laying his heart before God, just completely laying it out. You see these four questions he asks, all starting with the phrase, how long? He's repeating this question to God, how long? How long? And it's a good rule of thumb whenever reading scripture that anytime there's a repetition of words or phrases to take note of what is happening there. And here it's just drilling home the emphasis of the state of David's heart. You can see and imagine that David is not simply in the midst of a bad day or a particular circumstance, but this is a prolonged, deep, deep struggle. Can you see in the way that he is just coming before God that he is just struggling immensely? In verse 2, he says, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow all the day long? I don't know about you, but I can really relate to that sentiment. The idea of having sorrow all the day. You wake up in the morning, and the first thing you feel is just the sorrow and pain of your circumstance. And as you go throughout the day, it just lingers and feels like there's no escape from it. The first half of that verse in the NIV translation says, how long must I wrestle with my own thoughts? And the first time I read that, those words hit me so deeply. I can remember feeling like any free moment I had, I was just trapped in the chasm of my own mind. And as much as I tried to think joyful thoughts, think something happy, experience joy, all I was going back to was just the sorrow of my own heart, and it just felt like there was no escape. We don't know the exact circumstance that David is in, but as he's writing the psalm, we can imagine the sorrow that he is feeling, the pain that he is feeling, the seeming just emptiness and hopelessness that one could imagine. In the first verse, he even asks some questions that we might say as Christians we should know the answer to. It says, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I think oftentimes as Christians, maybe we would respond and try to say, no, like, of course God hasn't forgotten you. That's not true. God knows who you are. God's with you. But what David's saying here is less of a theological statement and more of an expression of the realities of his heart. Simply an expression of the depth to the pain that he is experiencing. You know, it's important to remember in life that we don't want to go about every day simply guided by our emotions and our feelings. One day you're happy, one moment you're happy, the next you're sad. Our emotions, the reality is they are up and down, they're constantly changing. But the reality is also that emotions affect us deeply and powerfully. And sometimes we will experience these seasons of sorrow that are prolonged. And so what David is doing here is he's just turning and being vulnerable with the Lord. And of course, if you know David, he's a hero of the faith in so many instances. A very famous Bible story, if you've grown up in church, is the story of David versus Goliath, where he shows this incredible faith and goes and takes on this giant Goliath, and with just a stone and a sling, God is able to work through him. And he goes on to become King David and do amazing things, leading God's people. And this same hero of the faith is now here saying that he feels like God is far from him and has forgotten about him. And I know for many instances in my life, I've fallen into the temptation of believing that because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. That means that every moment I should just be happy or overflowing with smiles every instance of the day, but that's simply not a reality of life. And if it's true for David that he could have a season like this, the reality is it will likely be true for us. And it's okay and good for us to wrestle with those emotions and those feelings and simply lay it before God, because he cares about our hearts. He cares about how we feel. And what's so important about this psalm, and maybe the key to the entire thing, is the fact that David is talking to God. See, central to lamenting is that in this expression and wrestling with sorrow in our lives, it's not something we simply do internally and sink back, but we bring it before God, lay it at his feet, and are just vulnerable with him. And so as David is doing this in these couple of verses, he then shifts in verses 3 and 4. He moves from simply laying his heart before God, and he begins to petition God in prayer. He turns from simply just laying out his situation, and he just asks God for help. He says, God, give light to my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. What he's saying here is really simply, God, I am just falling apart, overwhelmed, and I can't do it much longer, Lord. I just need your help. I need your help, God. He's sitting back and just asking for the strength because he feels like he is about to fall apart and crumble. In doing so, he's recognizing his dependence upon God. He's recognizing that in this situation, the only thing that can truly get him through, that can bring him joy, that can bring him comfort, that might give him the strength is God. He's the only way. In life's darkest times, the only way that we can make it through is if God brings us through. See, depression and sorrow can be really isolating feelings. I think anytime you're in a situation like that where you're feeling depressed, the temptation is to just isolate further and further, just kind of bottle up those feelings. But whenever someone does that, it just begins to spiral out of control more and more and more. And the longer you sit and let yourself isolate, the more you can give life to the ideas that whatever you're feeling may never end. The more hopelessness can continue to just grip you. But in David simply pouring out his heart here and praying and asking God for help, he's taking a step of faith and recognizing that if someone is going to help him, if anyone can, it's God. And so as much as he may not feel like there is any hope for him in this moment, as much as he may feel lost, he's choosing and daring to put his hope in God. And so he prays this prayer. He asks God for help. Asks God to give light to his eyes. And then as he turns to finish out this psalm, these last couple of verses struck me so powerfully the first time I read them. We look at the way he started these verses, laying out the sorrow in his heart, and then he just turns and clings to God's faithfulness. He remembers God's goodness, and he clings to it in a way that just doesn't make sense. He says, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Just a couple of verses earlier, he's sitting here crying out to God, saying he feels so far from him. And now all of a sudden he's turning and saying, I have trusted in your steadfast love. I will rejoice in your salvation. Imagine if we responded to sorrow like this. There's so much we can learn here. Rejoicing in God's salvation, the greatest gift of all. So no matter what we are feeling, no matter our circumstances, no matter our sorrow, it is true that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us. In our sin, we had created separation from ourselves and God. And God took on flesh, came down in his Son to live a perfect life, to die the death that we deserve, to pay the price for our sins so that we could be completely forgiven for all of our trespasses. And we could have the chance to come before God and enter in his presence for all of eternity. There's no greater truth than that. The fact that one day we as Christians can come and stand before God and he's going to look at us and he will not see any record of our sins, any record of our wrongs. He will just see the blood of Christ that has washed all of them away, and he will look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And on that day, we will rejoice. We will sing, and we will come into his presence. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more sorrow. And for all of eternity, we will experience perfect communion with God. That is a glorious truth. And there is nothing that can compare. And when we have that truth, when we know that truth, we can plant our lives on it, and there is nothing that can shake us from it. There is nothing that can take that away from us. And so David sits back, even though he is feeling such deep sorrow. Even though his emotions might be telling him there is no hope, he is choosing to trust in God. He is reminding himself of this salvation. He's trusted in God's love, and he is going to rejoice in that salvation. He can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and he will remind himself day in and day out. No matter how dark life gets, we have this perfect hope for all of eternity. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I know you don't need to believe in God, you don't need to know God to see the brokenness of this world, to realize that part of life is that constantly we are faced with struggles and failures and deep sorrow and loss. And the world will throw 1,000 things at us that promise that they can satisfy us, promise that they can make you happy. But in the end, every single one of them will fail. They never deliver. But this is a hope that will deliver. And so can I just invite you, if you are feeling this weight of sorrow and hopelessness, to turn to God. If you repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ, surrender to him. He wants to welcome you in to this inheritance that we freely have. And this eternal joy that nothing can touch, nothing can compare to, can be yours. And so I just invite you this morning, turn to Christ in faith if you have never done so already. In Romans 8, Paul talks about suffering. And he says that our present sufferings cannot compare to the future glory that is in store for all those that know Christ. That no matter how bad this moment is, no matter how deep our sorrow is, today, that pain cannot even compare to the glory that is coming on that day when we stand before God and enter into eternity with him. And so David turns and he finishes. He says, I will sing to the Lord. He says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This same David that is just crying out about the sorrow that he has, he can still look and see that God has dealt bountifully with him, that God is good. An unfortunate reality of life on this side of heaven is that we will not have all the answers to the brokenness that we see in the world, to all the sorrow we feel. We might not always be able to make sense of the things that we go through. But when we look at what God has done for us in saving our souls, we can see that he is so loving and good. And when we put our faith and our trust in him, he will bring us through any circumstance, through any sorrow, through any season of suffering. There's nothing that can take us away from him. And so sometimes we might have to remind ourselves and preach this to our own hearts. But we are made to worship him. And so as David declares to himself, I will sing to the Lord, there is no better way for us to respond to sorrow and suffering. And so we see this movement that David goes through, where he starts out just in such pain, laying his heart before the Lord. He dares to hope, chooses to hope, and petitions God in prayer and asks God for help, believing that he can. And then he turns and he declares to himself the truth that he knows, that God is good. God has saved him from his sin, and he is good. See, as I mentioned, I can remember the first time I read this psalm so vividly. It was a long season where I was just struggling with such deep depression and anxiety, and I found myself just struggling to understand why I was dealing with the things I was dealing with, struggling with how to get past it, and it would just feel hopeless so many times. And as I read these psalms, these words of David gripped me so powerfully that the brokenness that I was feeling, David felt himself. The fact that I could look at someone like David and see that he was going through the same things I was, and that he was able to declare this hope to himself. And so I can remember declaring to myself that same hope, praying and clinging to God in that moment, reminding myself of his goodness. And as time went on, that hope did so much for me. It got me through each and every day. And now I'm so thankful as I'm able to look back on that a few years removed. I can see the way God brought me through that season, the way he rescued me from that pit of despair. And every step of the way, he was by my side. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling similarly to David's words in this psalm. Maybe you are feeling sorrow all the day long, that every moment of every day as you have been going, you just can't escape the pain. And can I just ask, how have you been responding to that sorrow? Can you look at these words of David, see the guide that he has left for us? Can I encourage you to turn and put your hope in God? Remember what he has done, the goodness of God. And if you're not in that season right now, I think we know that that season will surely come. And as God has brought me through that in my own life, I know it will come again. And this guide can serve as a perfect hope for us as we cling to what God has already done. David says that we can trust in his steadfast love. And I'm reminded of Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Where Paul says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the love that we have been given. We can cling to that love and it will never let us down. So join me in daring to hope in this perfect God. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that you have made for us. Lord, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us, that even in the midst of deep and real sorrow, that we have a perfect hope in you. God, please meet us in our times of sorrow. God, would you use this psalm to touch the depths of our heart, to show us how we can respond and hope in you, even when everything in our hearts and our souls is tempting us to believe that you are far from us and that you have forgotten us, and that there is no hope in store for us. God, you are so good, and we know that you are with us. Help us to feel that. Help us to see that. Help us to believe it. And God, help us to never, ever forget it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you please stand as I invite the worship?